104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with a big story of the day.
Looking at the RamosLaw.com text line. Stokely, I love my man Stokely. Dan Jacobs did a great job. Hey, Stokely, any business you ran would go bankrupt. See, Stokely just proved my point. He wants every player to hold the Broncos hostage, even to the detriment of the team. Dan loves to argue. Put him with D-Mac and give him both boxing gloves. I'm a lover, not a fighter, Troy. Troy Ranka in for me today, in with me today. I missed out on the little pressers today. I had to have a doctor's appointment. So when I scheduled the doctor's appointment, I didn't realize, I didn't know when things would be going down. So I'll just go to you. How are things out there? And I'm sorry I couldn't make it out there to Broncos land today. It's Broncos. What are we? We're Broncos land, right? Broncos.
Broncos country.
Are you sure we're Broncos country?
That we are, or they?
Welcome to Bronco land.
Yeah, I think it's Bronco land.
Welcome to Bronco land.
So say the other 99% says Broncos country.
Well, this guy's John Elway, though.
Welcome to Bronco land.
He can call whatever he wants.
That's right. How is Broncos land today?
You know, Von Miller spoke today. Von Miller and Cortland Sutton.
Yeah.
Von Miller is always a highlight when he talks. He's good. He's good. Good press, as they say. In terms of, he always says something and a couple of things.
Now, he had some fun. He's buying Lambos and hanging out with Migos. And
he lives life, man.
He lives life.
And I'm happy for him.
Me too.
He's earned it. No doubt about it. He said a couple of things that were interesting regarding he's playing at a heavier weight this year. That's the plan.
Mm-hmm.
Said he played at 236 to 238 last season. That's what he played at Super Bowl 50. He wants to play at 245 this year. And he said specifically why D-Mac was because had nothing to do with agility, speed. It was really he wants the added weight because he could, the way he can deal with offensive linemen longer to kind of shed a block. He felt like with a little extra weight, it would help him in terms of the pass rush. He's intrigued by Vic Fangio. He said that Fangio was the same guy he met at the first press conference, which is always encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
The way he addressed the team, which was be sound in technique. Be sound in assignment.
Yep.
Intensity and effort. And he said the message, you know, keep it simple. But he said that it was good news that Fangio wasn't any different than the guy he saw that first day.
That's good.
There was a different vibe. I asked Vaughn specifically about Chris Harris not being there.
Yeah.
And said, hey, you went through this a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
What are the Tower teammates reacting to Chris Harris choosing to skip what is an optional workout day?
Well, here's what Vaughn said.
It's optional, right? This is the optional period to be here, and you know, we all know what type of pro Chris is, you know, on and off the football field, and you know, he's going to be ready to go whenever he's here, and if he's not here, he's still going to be ready to go. We're talking about Strap Harris. He could be on Mars, and he's still going to be Strap Harris. You know, he's going through whatever he's going through right now, and I support him 100%. But when it's time to go, he's going to be ready to go. So it's really. There's really not too much you can say about that. He's going to be, this is ninth year coming up, and, you know, whatever he has to do to get ready, I'm for it.
Okay. Well, good. Well, what's he going to say?
You know, really the issue with Chris Harris is over a timetable issue. The Broncos want to wait till after the draft to circle back and try to work out a contract extension for Chris Harris.
That's right. And here's why
Chris Harris would prefer to have it done now based on his play, and he's
course.
The second best player on the roster for me behind Von Miller.
Yeah, but what if they draft Greedy Williams?
It will not be Greedy Williams because he doesn't tackle. I guarantee you it will not be Greedy Williams.
Oh, sorry. DeAndre Baker.
That
Murphy.
Might, yeah,
well,
okay.
What do you want me to say?
It could be one of those
fill in
two.
The blank.
If they draft the right corner early.
If they draft a corner at 10.
If they draft a corner at 10, then it might spell the end of Chris Harris.
That's
here.
Right. So why in the world would the Broncos want to do anything with Chris Harris until they've made that decision? And why in the world would we as fans want them to rush that decision? Chris has signed up. I do not blame Chris for not going to the OTAs. He shouldn't go to the OTAs. He shouldn't do anything he doesn't want to do. He could show up for the mandatory minicamp in early June, Troy, and just do nothing. He could just physically be here. Now, Chris probably does have workout bonuses and, you know, that sort of thing. Do you know Chris, I believe, cashed in on $300,000 because they won six games? It was something like that. There are all sorts of quirky little things about playing percentage time, team wins, you know, that made him hundreds of thousands of dollars. So he may be willing to forego some of those things. It's relatively small in his world. I don't blame him. If I was Chris Harris, I wouldn't step on the field to do anything with the Denver Broncos until I had an extension. Why would he? He is so well within his rights, Troy, to ask for a extension. It's ridiculous. It's preposterous. And this is the time for him to do it. You know what's funny? Was Stoke just said it, which is actually kind of genius. If Joe Flacco was ever looking for a better extension or guarantee or twerking his contract, this absolutely would be the right time to do it. I mean, it would make him look awful, but come on. Joe Flacco has a deal right now that only this year is guaranteed. When is Joe Flacco going to be more valuable to the Denver Broncos, Troy, than right now?
Well, you would argue if he had a huge year, you know, some kind of career year next year, they would approach him about reworking the final years of his contract. But to your point, he walks into Denver, his first thing is to hold out without ever playing.
Wouldn't that be something?
That would be a boss move, and he better play out of his mind from the first second he steps on, because the fans would wear him out.
Oh, no doubt about it. But I'm just saying, you're right about all that, and of course he's not going to do that. But Stokely brought up a good point. Listen, I don't begrudge these guys anything when it comes to their money. Get it. You're only going to be in this game a short period of time. There's not guaranteed contracts like there are in other sports. You risk your livelihood every single time you get out there and lift a weight, run a route. We've seen it all. We've seen guys drop weights on their head.
Last year.
Who was that dropped the weight on their head, was it?
Philly Brown, the receiver.
Philly Brown.
Got a concussion.
Got a concussion lifting weights.
One of the bells or something on the weight thing.
Something dropped on his head just lifting weights. Good old Philly Brown.
Never played it down, never made a practice. I'm not sure he's ever in the league
again. It's the Ballad of Philly Brown. I could see like an old-fashioned-y type of song about, oh, the times of Philly Brown, the weight that there got him down. And there goes thy Philly Brown. Off into the hospital. It's not a catchy song. But I'm just saying, for Chris Harris's sake, why would he do a darn thing? Can't blame him at all. He's well earned it. And he has no leverage.
This is the only time NFL players have to exercise without making it a complete issue. Is this offseason?
This is
part of the offseason. Because once you start missing training camp, the problem players run into is the public tide turns against you.
The question is, are you willing to Le'Veon Bell it or Antonio Brown it? What Antonio Brown did was hysterical. He had 2 years left on his contract, and he demanded a trade. And he got it.
Well, he just made himself. He made himself a pariah in his own locker room. He created it to the where they basically couldn't stand him anymore.
Yeah.
Even though he was their best player.
And it worked.
Your quarterback's your most valuable, but he was their best player for the last several years, and he just made it so miserable
for
them.
They had to trade him.
They're like, we got to give this guy away. We can't stand him anymore.
Stokely is absolutely right. The only two options with Chris Harris are to trade him or to pay him an extension. That's it. If I was Chris Harris, I would never come back and play for the Broncos under this contract. I would just do what Le'Veon Bell did. And you could say that's selfish and what's a contract for and all that. But this is the only leverage these guys have. And their careers are short. This is it. And God forbid for Chris Harris, Emmanuel Sanders. How did Emmanuel tear his Achilles, Troy?
Running a route in practice.
What portion of the practice was it?
Just light drills. I mean, is that no contact?
Nothing.
They weren't
right?
going against the defense?
Nothing.
He literally planted
warming
and
up.
Went down.
More or less warming up, right?
Essentially. I mean, it was basically you're going against air, and he planted his leg and went down.
Why? Because he had, Emmanuel's had a lot of foot injuries over the years, and he just had something that's been building, and it was just, it's like just a frayed elastic band, and it just snapped. It was always going to snap. It was just a matter of, you know, I'm quite convinced I had torn my ACL, and my meniscus, Troy, was hanging on by a thread. Because the action that caused me the most pain, and when I, you know, knew I had blown things out, I turned slightly to the left. I mean, doing absolutely nothing. I wish I had a more heroic story of athletic adventure. I wish I was filming myself working out. And we'll get to Brendan Langley in a second. But no, it was pretty mild, and so was Emmanuel Sanders. Well, who's to say, how do we know that Chris Harris doesn't have something like that too? How do we know that the fractured bone hasn't led to something else? How do we know it, Troy?
Well, he healed and played since then, but to your point, he's been hurt, and he's torn an ACL in his career.
Right. But
he has every reason to stay back.
Right. As far as the Broncos know right now, as far as they know, he's healthy.
Yes. It's a timing issue with them.
Yes.
When you get money, because especially when you're going to do a deal with Chris, it's not going to be 2-year, $12 million. I mean, the base, which I can't imagine he would agree to, is that three. Look at what Kareem Jackson just got.
Start there.
I mean, but that won't get it done. There's no way he's taking less than Jackson.
No way!
So Jackson just got 3-year, $23 million guaranteed. There's no way Chris takes less than that.
Chris got to be 13, 14 a year. Got to be something.
So my point is, teams get money
at
different
times.
What is he,
like the 29th, 23rd highest paid guy?
Roughly 23rd, yes.
That's preposterous.
But teams get money at different times when they have to fund signing bonuses. Right. And so there is a timing element in fairness to the Broncos. It's
absolutely
not like they've got this war chest of money. They walk out the back door and just squirrel it away. You know what I mean? Things get done on certain timelines because of the way the budget works.
Correct. And if the Broncos wanted to move on from Chris Harris, I would support them in that action too.
I would not.
I would.
I would not.
I would understand it.
I would not.
I would know what the money is. I would know what the concerns for injury are. And I would know that, I mean, you're drafting a corner then. You're making a commitment then, a corner at 10. But if they drafted, who's your guy? Who's your favorite corner?
Murphy from Washington.
Murphy
from Washington.
If they drafted Byron Murphy at 10, it's been nice, Chris Harris. We'll see you at the Ring of Fame. And then you trade him. I know you wouldn't. But would you understand would you understand if the Broncos did?
Yes, because then you're back to where you were with Tlaib, where you've got like money and three different secondary guys.
Correct.
That model's hard to sustain. The reason they moved on from Tlaib was, I mean, at the very end, it obviously the relationship had fractured, and the fact he had dealt with injuries, and they were ready to move. Both sides were ready to move on at the end of the Tlaib thing. They were ready to move on from Aqib. Nobody wants to move on from Chris Harris. I mean, he's your ultimate underdog story. Undrafted free agent, four-time Pro Bowler, one-time All-Pro, Ring of Famer. You don't want to move on from that guy if you can avoid it. And what would hurt the Broncos is then you're basically saying you're not paying him because you paid Kareem Jackson.
Listen, I'm not advocating for them to move on from Chris. I think they should re-sign him to extend him, rather. But I would understand it. Again, this is where the personality conflict of interest of the Broncos exists. Are we rebuilding? Are we a playoff team?
Right, that's fine. That's the part where I do join you, where if you say we're a team in transition, we can't keep paying a bunch of veterans.
Trade them.
But my argument would be, it might be the end of the line for Wolf after this season. There's money that's going to free up. That's where I would say I would rather find a way to keep Chris, given the level he's playing at,
listen,
then sacrifice him to keep other parts.
We all love the guys we love, okay?
But mine's based on performance with him.
I got you.
I don't trade good players.
What do you want to do with Emmanuel Sanders?
I give him every opportunity to play this year out.
Okay, so throwing him $8.5 million.
Well, you got to have somebody to throw to with Joe Flacco.
Sure do.
You can't.
So just to examine things,
right?
We've kept Derek Wolf. We've decided to do that.
The Wolf one surprised me.
If they cut Wolf?
No, that surprised me.
That surprised you.
There's still a little uncertainty there. Like Derek. I love
how
that.
Much more money is on the line for Wolf? I know they had to spend money to think about it, just like they had to spend money on Sanders to think about it. So what's left with Wolf? I know it's like...
I think it's 8.5.
It's 8.5 on Sanders.
Yeah, it's similar. There's money's similar. And listen, I hope they keep him. He has a great year. I'm just saying...
But listen to what we're saying. Oh, we're going... We love Emmanuel Sanders, so we're going to pay him 8.5. He's going to be fine. Don't worry about the injury. Oh, we love Derek Wolf. We're going to pay him another 8.5.
He's at 8. And he 7 remaining because he got a
$1
million.
We're going to pay him another $7 million. So 8.5 to Emmanuel, 7 to Derek Wolf. Oh, we love Chris Harris. So we're going to extend him, too. We're going to give him, it's got to be more than $33 million for 3 years. So we're going to give him 38 and guarantee 25. Whoa. Okay. Really?
But it would be the
all end. That's everybody. Everybody's okay with that.
But it would be very possible. It's the end for Wolf and Sanders, which I'm saying.
Okay,
that's where you would say, well, it doesn't make a lot of sense in a vacuum this season.
If it's the
but
end,
it would going forward.
If it's the end for Wolf and Sanders, what are we doing?
I'm saying after this year, it could be the end.
I gotcha. But we're obviously winning the Super Bowl this year.
You are. You're winning it every year, D-Mac.
I mean, if we're gonna pay all this money for Wolf, pay all this money for Sanders, extend Chris Harris, because really, it's just about this year. We'll have to say goodbye to Wolf and Sanders next year. We're winning the Super Bowl this year. And by the way, that is how you win the Super Bowl, actually. That's actually kind of exactly how you win the Super Bowl.
That's how the Rams got to the Super Bowl.
That's right. What's Ndamukong Suh up to these days?
Nothing.
Right, it's done for him, and with the Rams at least. What's C.J. Anderson up to? Nothing. Well, he's with Detroit
now. Got a one-year deal with the Lions?
Yeah, I mean, when you're going for a Super Bowl, you spend all sorts of crazy money on stuff that's not sustainable. So, okay, fine. But if we do all this, and the Broncos finish at 7-9, and we paid Sanders, and we paid Wolf, and we gave Chris Harris this big extension, I mean, I seriously would have to be, like, for what? So, I'm okay with it in theory, but I don't blame the Broncos for thinking about it. It's fine to think about it. And I don't blame Chris Harris for not showing up. He shouldn't show up.
Remember with Chris, too.
Two things can be right at the same time.
Right. And Chris gave them what it's turned out to be a team-friendly deal in this previous contract.
Because he wanted a certain...
He wanted security.
He wanted a certain type of life.
Right.
And by the way, Chris Harris, I think Chris is a great dude. Great dude. Not a good dude. Great dude. Here's who Chris Harris is. And Derek Wolf, actually. All-time Broncos players. Forever. Slam dunk Ring of Famers.
Wolf's not a Ring of Famer.
Slam dunk Ring of Famer.
Yeah, Wolf won't be. And
slam
I love Derek. He won't be.
Dunk. 10-year career. Super Bowl championship. Bring it on.
No chance.
You'll see.
I hope you're right. Ed McCaffrey's not even in the Ring of Fame.
Ed wasn't here as long as Derek Wolf. Plus, Ed wasn't drafted by the Broncos. And Ed should be in the Ring of Fame. To have a year where you don't have anybody going in the Ring of Fame and Ed's not, that screams there's something behind the scenes that we're not privy to. That's politics.
Well, let's put them both in. I would say Chris Harris is a lock beyond lock.
I'd say they're
Ring of Fame.
Both locks.
Okay.
I'd say when you start thinking about Ring of Fames and stuff like that, look at your Super Bowl championships and go from there. I don't think that's even that. You start with those guys. John Lynch, you know, snuck in. And I love John Lynch, but give me a break. It's a big deal and it's not a big deal. Chris Harris not being around becomes a big deal if they do draft a corner at 10.
If they draft a corner and or this bleeds into training camp, then it becomes a really big deal.
Well, it's definitely going to bleed into training camp.
No, I think there'll be resolution one way or the other.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Training camp. I'm talking July 18th, camp. When you need to be there, it's mandatory. There's one mandatory offseason thing, June 4th to the 6th.
If they don't draft a corner in the first two rounds, they have probably come to the conclusion that we need to extend Chris Harris, and that's when it'll probably happen. So both sides are right. Wait, Broncos. Think about things. There's no rush. We're just working out. Hopefully you don't drop any. Did anybody get hurt today?
Not that we're aware of.
Is Jeff Heuerman okay? You always got to look out for Jeff Hireman, Troy. You got to be careful. Hurt in rookie practice running down the field.
On a kickoff drill. Kickoff coverage drill.
It's a tough one to hurt yourself on. Like, gone for the year, right?
In his rookie year, is like their second practice of rookie camp.
It's because, listen, this sounds like I'm ripping on Jeff Hireman. Well, the truth is, a lot of these guys have injuries just, they're right there. They're just about to happen. They're just about to happen. Jeff didn't do anything wrong, but he obviously was, his body was to the point where, you know, something was about to snap, and he was probably hanging on by a thread just to get to the point he was. So it was probably actually pretty heroic for him to probably get to where he was, because there probably were plenty of signs that things weren't right.
Well, the Broncos have changed how they do that with their rookies anyway.
That's true. They don't make them go like 100% like on the first couple. They do nothing, actually, for the first couple days.
Well, I think it goes back to the bigger model. They train for the combine, D-Mac, for basically from the end of their college season, so December through end of February, just like 8 weeks of full training. Basically, they're just becoming like American Ninja Warrior training athletes.
Yeah.
And they do things to their body and max them out. There's no elasticity left.
Right.
Then all of a sudden, they go back to football activity.
Yeah. Shock to the system.
As simple as covering on a kickoff drill, and they blow out. So I had multiple players tell me that off the record. Like, my rookie year was so hard because I never had any time off from when my college season ended through my whole rookie season, my body was just like, felt like I was playing catch up season.
They do something else goofy too. They do all these visits.
Yeah.
So you're probably taking 5 or 6 visits in a probably 3-week span. So you train for the combine, you do the combine, which is the biggest day of your life. And then you may have a pro day or may not, but you may have a pro day. And then you got to kind of go on this like rubber chicken circuit sort of thing, right? Like, it's because you meet, we got to eat, Troy, right? If you're meeting, we're eating, we're going out, we're on an airplane, we're not working out, because when you go visit, you don't work out. The only workouts happen when the teams come to see you. So if you're seeing 5 or 6 teams, you're on airplanes, you're not sleeping right, you're doing all this stuff, and here comes draft night. Well, what's draft night, Troy? It's friends and family and parties, and all of a sudden you've just been drafted, and what are they doing? Well, now we're on another plane, because we got to get out for the press conference, and we're going to be practicing with the team within a week? I mean, it's insane. It's a ridiculous process.
For guys who aren't professionals yet, remember that. Like,
it'd be ridiculous for anybody. Just to go through that rhythm, where you compare it to a pro who has rested his body since he's been eliminated from the season and playoffs. He's probably started a workout regime building up to today, probably starting in mid-February or so. And they're slowly amping up to everything, never mind guys who live here and have already been working out or recovering at the facility. So everything just blends from one thing to another. And then you're Jano and you're jacked and you look like you've been lifting the Empire State Building. Because you're Jano. Who's awesome. I saw Jano today.
You see that picture on the website? That shirt was just like screaming.
I felt bad for the shirt.
It was probably an extra large, and turned it into a schmedium. Jano. Jano's biceps needed like their own Twitter handle now.
That'd be great. Can you make that happen?
I could. I'm not. I don't have the sense of humor.
If we had 22 Janos, we would be all right.
All right.
They were much better with one less Brock Olivo.
When we come back, and we're certainly happy to take your feedback on Chris Harris. The RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. You can call us on that number, too. Sure, want to hear how you feel about it. What a day for Denver sports, though. Holy cow, Troy. Wow. We got it all going on today. Man, oh, man, oh, man. Unbelievable. It was an overtime loss, but what a way to get a point by the Avalanche. It is truth-telling time for the Nuggets. It is a early season litmus test for these Rockies to make sure, you know, you can actually hit a baseball. And the Broncos get back into the swing of things. Man, what a day to be listening to 104.3 The Fan.
The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
You okay there, Troy? You all right?
That was coughing.
I know.
There were some media folk at Dove Valley today. They were
really?
Coughing.
Well, perhaps it's good that I missed out there.
I like to keep a very low, keep it on the low, keep it low key.
I got to bring something up. Like, we were just busted on Mark Schlereth a little bit because he's videotaping himself working out. Now, Mark is working out because he's going to be in season 5 of Ballers with Dwayne The Rock Johnson. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's a preposterous opportunity that isn't even worthy of any of us speculating what would we do, because it's so ridiculous that we would ever have that opportunity, correct?
This is correct.
So, you know, the motivation to work out, the force is strong with young Mark Schlereth. But the point is videotaping yourself working out and posting it yourself. It's not like somebody was sneaking a selfie cam and was on the lat bar next to, is there a lat bar? Is there anything? Was that for lattes? That might be the latte bar.
Yeah, I think you're thinking of caramel mocha latte.
Yeah, you know, the push-up paddle. Is there a push-up paddle? It probably isn't.
Dude, when was the last time you worked out? Like 76? You like
went for a walk at Red Rocks with my wife on Sunday. Seriously.
I could picture you working out in that Rocky sweatsuit, that gray sweatsuit.
That's right. That's right. In the snow.
The trucker's ski cap.
Yeah, it would be Rocky 4. It would be like...
No, I'm talking Rocky 1.
Rocky 1?
Yes, those sweatpants. The gray, full gray, with the pulled up to the knee and the tube socks.
Well, what am I going to wear to work tomorrow if I wear those to work out? Anyways, so Stink got some flack. I'm sure he has a sense of humor about it. We all wish we could do bicep curls like Mark Schlereth, of course. But again, the posting videos of yourself working out, it's murky territory. Be careful. Be careful what you're doing. Brendan Langley, I got to tip my hat to Brendan Langley. Talk about trying to reinvent yourself. He's going from corner to wide receiver. And I mean, that is a bubble position if I've ever seen one on this Broncos team for Brendan Langley. I think he's shooting Troy like a self-documentary about himself. So I'm looking at him on Twitter, and it's like slow motion walking to his Hummer H3 or whatever it is, and then he's going into Landau Performance Center, and he's walking through a ladder, and then it's the classic, like, 30 for 30, you know, profile when they're driving, reflecting on the, you know, the big things of life.
The transition to receiver has been pretty smooth, man. Like, it's my natural position, so I haven't had so many hiccups. Just being able to get in and out of my breaks and find those cuts, find those holes in the defense.
Nobody's asking him any of these questions. He's asking himself these questions. You understand? Like, nobody's shooting a documentary on Brendan Langley. He's doing a documentary on himself. So it's like, do you follow what I'm saying here? Yeah. Raj was reminding me of the movie Along Came Polly, when Philip Seymour Hoffman's character was, right, who was a child star,
right,
hired a film crew to follow him around to shoot a documentary about himself. I mean, I respect the game for Brendan Langley trying to brand himself. I actually think it's awesome. Because we're talking about Brendan Langley.
He's cutting out the media, though. Another person cutting out the middleman here, Brandon.
Here's another...
The transition to receiver has been pretty smooth, man. Like, it's my natural position, so...
Nobody's asking you! Who asked the question? I asked myself. I said, "Hey, self? What do you think about the transition of, like, oh, man, what's going on here?" Very reflective. And then slow motion. We had slow motion. Landau Performance Center. A nice guy. Who's shooting it? Landau Performance Center? It's a good place. Been there. A lot of people work out there.
I doubt they were shooting it. That would make a lot of sense.
Well, it looked like an ad for him at some point.
I'm with you. I admire the creativity.
I mean, it's funny. It's the age we live in.
Right. It's like this is when you're a social media influencer. You document parts of your life that the rest of us didn't know we needed.
All of a sudden, the transition from pretty bad cornerback to bubble wide receiver just got a lot deal. Just got a lot more interesting.
He did play wide receiver in college, so do know that. It's not like he last played in high school.
It's clear. You know how I know that? He talks about it in his documentary. Listen, again, do not take this as like I'm ripping on Brandon Langley. Good for him. Like, I'm officially, Troy, rooting for Brandon Langley.
Yeah, heck of a story.
He's making it one?
Yes.
Good for him.
He had sit down with Stink to clear the air.
He did, and that was another really smart move. Because this all started when Brendan Langley posted a video of himself running under PCV pipe.
And Mark tweaked it.
And Mark, rightfully so, had a little comment about it. But then Langley came back with the, I'm trying to feed my family, and listed like 15 relatives. He's trying to feed his sisters and his brother's mother and his mom too, and his uncle and his uncle's kids and auntie two and auntie three. And he literally went through like, you know, like 15 different people who apparently he's feeding. Which begs the question, why don't they have jobs?
One of them could film for him, couldn't they?
Somebody could do sound. Somebody could learn editing, maybe on iMovie. Somebody could...
Final Cut?
Sure.
I'm rooting for him. I love the creativity.
I'm definitely rooting for him. And by the way, how smart was he? So he gets in a little beef with Stink. They figure out how to meet for dinner.
And they chronicled it, didn't
they? They chronicled
he did,
it.
Not,
and now you've made a connection with Mark Schlereth, and he thinks you're a good guy. Mark's a good dude. Brendan Langley's a good dude. All of a sudden we meet, we have dinner. Now we're buddies, and now you got somebody who actually calls games on national television. It's kind of got your back a little bit. It's a brilliant move. Brendan Langley, you know what? He's a smart cookie. He's transitioning to a different position. It's going to be tough for him to make the team, and he's approaching things in a different way. Boy, my hat's off to him. I am officially rooting for Brendan Langley, but what are we talking about here? Your receivers right now are Emmanuel Sanders, Cortland Sutton, Deshaun Hamilton, and Tim Patrick. And we've talked a lot about drafting, you know, my guy is N'Keal Harry, but Metcalf is out there too, as is Marquise Brown and others. I mean, there are playmakers out there. And they draft one of those guys, then you're out. I mean, there's nothing you can do, Brendan Langley, if they draft a wide receiver, unless you can beat out Tim Patrick.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
And that's not going to happen. Tim Patrick's pretty special.
He's pretty good. I mean, he's decent, especially low cost. Brendan Langley has reinvented himself because he's really been a quiet guy in the locker room, reserved, kind of in his cubicle. That's what's been so... It's just a jarring juxtaposition from the guy I've seen in the locker room the last 2 years to the guy who's on social media now, like, hey, I'm in a good mood, and here's what's going on with my life. So credit to him, but the challenge is real. In all seriousness, like, I like what he's trying to do in that way. But making an NFL team on a position switch, the odds are against it. Now, he might be the one, but the odds are against it.
Okay. Football at 4. We'll dig back into the Chris Harris situation. What a night, though, in Denver sports. And the Avalanche made it so interesting. We'll get to it next.
You're listening to The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
You know, we've had our issues with overtime, and I thought we played a really good overtime. We created some good looks at the net. We defended hard. We did all the right things. And you know, you get to a shootout, and it's, you know what it is. It's a flip of the coin, and you just never know. You win some, and you lose some. So to get a point, I'm happy to get a point. Wish we had two, but pretty happy to come into a really tough building against a real good team and get a point here tonight.
What a night for the Avalanche, Troy, as they... Well, I mean, they took the overtime loss in the shootout. Ryan O'Reilly. Look at him. I loved Ryan O'Reilly. He is one of my favorite Colorado athletes of all time. Some people paint him with like a selfish brush, but his work ethic, just everything about Ryan O'Reilly, I loved. But still, empty net, less than a minute to go, and they get the equalizer to get a point. Huge. Huge. And they are in action tonight. The Nuggets are in action tonight. The Rockies get going tonight. Let me ask you this. What's the best, rank it in order in terms of the best story tonight in Colorado sports with those three teams? What's one, what's two, what's three? Or three, two, one, however you want to do it.
Three would be Rockies against the Rays. It's a early season series on the road that most people will never remember unless something historic happens. And there's going to be like friends and family attending that game. So that one can't be one. That's three. Two would be Nuggets. I know they're only one game out, so if they were to win in the Western tonight, they'd be tied atop the Western Conference. And I just talked to my buddy, text with Nick Koschmider from The Athletic. Jamal Murray is expected to play.
Okay, good.
Probable. So if you're wondering about that, because they can't beat him without him in the lineup. The number one would be the Avs. It's playoff hockey. It's playoff hockey right now. What are they, 1-point lead? They're in the final last, homestand.
The last 9 minutes of that game last night against St. Louis were just, it was unbelievable. It was so exciting. And that point gives them, I mean, they're scrapping for it over the Coyotes right now.
Well, they gave up a point last weekend, too, Bam, that Arizona game.
Well, you win some, you lose some. But we have, you know, they got four games in like 6 days. I mean, it is action-packed for this final week. And so you go from a huge, talk about having to pump your energy back up, right? Like, you go from an unbelievable emotional game on the road last night. You got to turn around and do it all over again tonight. Edmonton comes to town, and that has to happen all over again. How do you find it? How do you find the will? How do you find the determination? How do you find the heart?
It's usually those grinders and the muckers, the guys that carry you through on nights like this. Because your stars have to score. I mean, McKinnon's got to be good. Your stars have to be good. But it's usually, you know, a guy, whether it's a Kerfoot or somebody of that nature, that has to pick up and play in a way that inspires your team.
So who will that be tonight? But boy, that the answer to that question gets you excited about going down there, doesn't it? Gets you excited about watching the game, being in the crowd. And, you know, Pepsi Center has just had so much of that this season. It's been awesome. Ultimately, I agree with you. 1, 2, 3, Avs, Nuggets, Rockies. They all have good stories, though. And the Rockies are definitely three. But there's a little story there. There's a little something there.
It was Trevor's story. I don't know that there's a story.
There's a story there.
I'm not sure there is.
I think in the baseball season, it's all about, you know, you win 60, you lose 60. What do you do with the other 42 games? This is one of them 42 games, as far as I could see. This is one of those series where you want to win the road series, if possible. But not going to be easy. But it's lower on the list. I'll give you that.
Isn't it Freeland versus Snell tonight?
Freeland for sure. I'm not sure who's going for the Rays.
Pretty sure the reigning AL Cy Young Award winner is going tonight. But I'll double check that.
Let's see what happens.
Freeland's up for the Rockies. And Jake McGee went on the IL today. It's not the DL anymore, but the IL with an injury. He got hurt late in that game.
Yeah.
I mean, I get, you know, roll the eyes. You know, are they better without him? Perhaps. But, but they have depth issues.
The Nuggets game. Oh, man, that's going to be exciting, too. We're just loaded tonight, man. It's going to be awesome.
And USA Soccer with Mallory Pugh is here in town.
Stop. I don't care.
Here in town.
Okay, great. Tonight on your TV, what's on? You only have one TV. What are you watching?
Warriors Nuggets.
Not the Avs, even though it's a bigger
story.
I'll
turn over for the Avs toward the end if it's close, but I'm going to watch basketball.
Because you hate hockey fans?
I covered hockey for a full season, year and a half, when I was at the Times Call, 96, 97, 97, 98.
So you've had enough?
No, I like hockey. I didn't grow up with hockey. I'm a basketball fan. I love watching basketball, and I love watching the Warriors Nuggets.
Nuggets win tonight. What does it mean?
They have a shot then, a real shot at the one. If you lose tonight, no shot at the one. Because then you've lost the season series. They punked you three times in a row. No shot. But for the first time in recent memory, the Warriors are a little vulnerable.
Awesome night for Denver sports.
What are you watching?
I will... Got to think about the timeline. I will have the Rockies on. Where's the broadcast for the Nuggets?
Is that TNT or is that on? I'll have to double check. That might be a national game on TNT.
Yeah, I will have the Avalanche on. and follow the Nuggets. I love them both, but it'll be Rockies to the end, over to the Avalanche, and then catch up with the Nuggets and monitor if it's close.
If I were in person, the hockey game's amazing. Hockey on TV for me still is a tougher watch.
To me, the Avalanche, not only is it a better story, it's more compelling. Because, you know, the Nuggets are going to be okay no matter what. They're in the playoffs no matter what. There's all sorts of things that could happen no matter what. This is a playoff game. This is a virtual playoff game for the Avalanche. And to me, that's ultimately more exciting. Football at 4, the future of Chris Harris, and the doom fate of the AAF. That's next.